So happy to have you back. It's time to get ready for another episode of the Tipsy Teacher Podcast. If you ever find yourself questioning your five-year-old's self's dream of becoming a teacher, then you're in the right place. On today's podcast, we'll be looking inside the mind of an ESOL teacher. So let's go. Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Tipsy Teacher Podcast, brought to you by Kind Vine Teacher Wines, the wine that fuels and funds teachers. If you tune in until the end of this podcast, we have a discount code waiting just for you on your next online order at teacherwines.com. We are so glad that you're back and super excited to laugh, vent, and entertain our hardworking teachers. Now it is time for you to sit back and relax. Just a reminder that homework is for home, and so is this podcast. Tipsy Teacher is NSFW, not suitable for work, friends. So if you're at work, turn this shit down. Yay! All right. So today on the podcast, we have Katie. And Katie is an ESOL teacher who I actually met at my daughter's preschool class. So during drop-off and pick-up, we kind of discovered that we were both teachers. And, you know, everybody knows I'm on a break right now. And I was just fascinated with the fact that Katie could drop off her child and pick her up and was still a teacher, because drop-off is at 9:30. I was like, wait, that's all right. I don't sit there forever. Drop is at 9:30 and pickup is at 4. And I'm always like, wow, this is the deal. And she was like, listen, be a resource teacher, and that is how this will work out for you. And I was like, oh my God, what are you? Tell me more. And she was like, I teach ESOL. And I was like, oh, I have a very large ESOL population at my school. Mm-hmm. I could do this. So I literally looked up study guides. I looked into the praxis to do ESOL. I tried so hard. I picked the brains of my two ESOL friends that I have. And I was like, I felt dumb. I didn't know what it was saying to me. There were words that I was like, what? And it's obviously like something that you have to go and take a class for. You know, I mean, I probably couldn't cheat the system. I could have tried, but I read all these things, like I could take the praxis at home, and like there's a camera that scans your eyes to make sure you're not like
looking
at books and stuff. Yeah. But yeah. So I literally looked up study guides because of you, Katie, because I was like, you know what? I'm going to be an ESOL teacher. I'm going to do it.
You could do it. You could do it. Yeah.
Well, maybe, you know, maybe, but not next year, because there were all these, like, I felt, okay, so shout out to my Clear Spring High School friends. It was all Miss Romito's jam. It was just things with like grammar and parts of speech and like where the things go. And I was like, I didn't think that this was going to be part of it. I don't know why, but I guess I should have known. Yeah. So tell us more about yourself, Katie.
Gosh. I'm Katie. I'm a mom to three girls, which is why I like wine so much, obviously. A five-year-old, a four-year-old, and a baby that's turning one on Friday. So busy with work and mom life and all the practices and everything. And it's kind of sad once you've reached the age of where when people say, tell us about yourself, and you're like, I'm a mom.
Yeah, no.
That's all I got.
It's not true.
That's about all I got right now.
She's like, that's what I'm doing, though. That's what I'm doing. Well, okay, so how long have you been an ESOL teacher?
This is my 7th year.
Okay. Yeah, how long have you been teaching?
8.
Okay, so where did you start then? What grade?
So I got my degree in elementary education from Radford University in Southwestern Virginia. And the summer, like 2 summers before I graduated college, I got a job working at a little summer camp up here in Maryland and met my husband and fell in love and did the long distance thing for 2 years.
What was the summer camp?
It was called Camp Wabana.
Oh, okay.
In Edgewater, Maryland. Oh. Yeah. It's a little Christian Southern camp, like hidden.
You guys met at a little Christian
summer camp? We did. Yeah. I was a tadpole counselor, which is like the smallest children that come for the day. And my husband did the high ropes courses. He was like the one who went up the pole and hung all the zip lines. And
obviously the camp hottie. Like, he was a hot commodity. Yeah, you're like,
oh, yeah.
I need the zip line guy.
the one who's terrified of heights.
Yes.
But I did it. You know.
Of course. Obviously. You had to.
Couldn't be scared. So we got married and he had a job up here and I hadn't gotten a job yet. So I did some long-term subbing positions down there. I worked as a pre-K teacher. And then I moved up here and could not find a job for anything.
Yeah.
At the time, everyone who had a teaching job was in it until they retired.
Yeah. I'm thinking we're at the same track. Like whenever I got my job, it was the same. It was like,
you could not get your foot in the door unless you knew someone. And yeah. I didn't know anyone. I moved up here. And so I got a job working at a daycare. And I hated my life. I had 12 2-year-olds. It was miserable. I can remember at the time my husband's an electrician and he would go into work so early and he would be coming home from work when I was on my lunch break. Oh. And he would walk into our little apartment and I would just be on the floor sobbing. Oh. Like, I don't want to go back.
Oh, no.
Because these little 2-year-olds just broke my spirit. Like, biting and changing diapers. And it's one thing when it's your own. And I loved those.
12 of them.
Yes. It was a lot. So then I went and I was a receptionist at a doctor's office.
Oh my God. I don't know why, but I've always wanted to do that. So please tell me what that was like.
I actually really enjoyed it. It was a concierge. I can't ever say the word. Doctor's office. So it was very fancy. I loved the people I worked with.
Yeah.
It was great. It was the same patients that would come in. So I got to form relationships with them. And I loved
it. Awesome. I don't know why.
It was nice. Yeah. I would stock their little mini bar.
So when cute.
The files would come in from all of their appointments, I would file them electronically and make appointments. It was fun.
Yeah.
But I wanted to be a teacher. And so I held out. And then the next school year rolled around and my husband was like, you know what? I actually played volleyball with my Spanish teacher from high school.
Oh,
she might have some connections. So he reached out to her. She's an ESOL teacher.
Uh-huh.
That was on a Thursday. And by Monday morning, I had 4 interviews.
Yes. Set up.
And so I went in and I interviewed for all these positions. And one of the people that were on the board was the ESOL supervisor. Oh. And she was like, you know, I don't know if you would be interested in it, but would you want to do this? And at that point, I had no training in ESOL. My background's in elementary ed. I barely speak English. I don't speak any other languages. I can't do this. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
And she kind of explained what our county's model is, which is full immersion. Mm-hmm. And she was like, you can do this. And I was like, you know what? I think I want to try it. Oh. She kind of sold me on the idea of being a resource teacher and not being trapped in one specific place.
Yeah.
And I just kind of weighed the pros and the cons and I was like, I think I'm going to try it and did it and haven't looked back and I love it. So
yeah, it was nice. 100%. Definitely. Yeah. No, I always love, I mean, first off, I love my old ESOL teachers at my old school. I'm sure I have just as good ESOL teachers at my new school, but like Maggie Del Campo, you're the best. I loved her so much. I miss her so much. Every time I see her, like if I go in and do something at the school, like Maggie, I run down the hallway. But she just, we were with them so much. I'm sure you are with your kindergarten classes more than anyone else, because at least at our school, they just come in.
Yeah.
And I they say, like, do. We have my class doesn't speak English. And it's like, okay, here we go. Let's go.
Yeah.
And it works out. Like you said, full immersion. Everybody, let's do it.
I do love my notes,
though. I love my letters from my parents, though, that are in Spanish.
Yes.
Mostly when they try to write it in English. I'm like, this is good. This is good.
Aw.
I don't know what you're trying to say, but it looks like Freddie's getting picked up early. I think. Happy day is what it always says at the bottom. Happy day.
Happy day.
Happy day to you, too. But no, I love I love our Esau family that we had at Cedar Beer. So hopefully, you know, we have the same type of vibe at Timbergrove. I'm sure we will.
Yeah.
Sorry, everyone. I think I have allergies. I'm just kidding. I'm pretty sure I have a cold. But it's fine because I've just been hacking up along all day. Went to the ear, nose, and throat doctor with my daughter today because they want to take her tonsils out.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I think one of mine needs her tonsils out. And they're like, you have to have strep like 7 times in a year to even think about it. But she gets it a lot. I feel like she needs it out.
Strep. They're doing it because they're huge. Apparently they're like really big. Really? And she's snoring. And she's starting to like pause. Say that next time you go, that's why they want to take them out.
Maybe. Yeah. She like saws wood. Like it's...
Say
for
that.
A 4-year-old.
The second I said it, they were like, oh, get her. They got her in the next, like literally like the next day. And then the reason why we can't move forward now is because they saw something weird in her ear. And I'm like, okay. To be continued.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, so I'm like hacking up along at the ear, nose, and throat doctor. But that's whenever I decided I was like, maybe I could be a receptionist at a doctor's office because they're having.
Yeah.
They're like chit chatting and like, I mean, I'm sure it's very hard, but like you get to like hang out with people, like grown ups and
pharmaceutical
stuff.
Pharmaceutical reps come in and bring you lunch. Like,
yeah. Heck yeah.
I didn't realize how well I had it made.
Yeah, that's fun.
Until I left that job.
Well, you can always go back. That sounds like a good job to do after you retire.
Yeah, it does.
Hey, everybody, let's do it together. all together. All right. So I have some like the little discussion questions here, and some of these I feel like are just, I don't know. I just feel like it's just something like even it's happened to me. So I know that hopefully as an ESOL teacher, it's happened to you. But
okay.
So this one is, what's the most creative way that you found to navigate through linguistic and cultural barriers with your ESOL students? So what's the like craziest thing you've had to do or that you've thought or seen work?
Oh man. I would say people are always amazed at what I do with my students.
Yeah.
Because I think the first thing anyone asks you when they find out you're an ESOL teacher is, how many languages do you speak?
Oh gosh, yeah.
And I'm like, English, barely. Like, I don't speak any other languages. And so everyone's always like, well, then what do you do? How do you talk to them? How do you communicate? And I always kind of equate it to, it's like teaching a baby how to speak.
Yes.
And I don't want to dumb it down by any means, but mm-mm. That's what we're doing. Like, yeah. I'm using so many pictures and like repetition and this is an apple going over and over. But I do a lot of acting out with my students.
Okay.
And people are always laughing at me, but I can have a group of 8th graders sitting in my classroom and 3 of them are Spanish speakers, but I might have a Russian speaker and a German speaker and I don't know, Swahili, you know,
I heard one year, didn't even know that was the language. I am so sheltered.
Yeah. There are so many languages in our county. I think we're like 36 right now.
Yeah.
Which is an impressive amount when you think about it.
Yeah.
So what you do for one student, obviously you have to do for all of them. So why it would be really easy for me to sit down and instruct in Spanish, I can't instruct in Swahili and Russian at the same time.
Yeah.
And so I'm obviously speaking in English, but I'm doing a lot of acting out and drawing pictures and pulling images up. So I would say that's how I break through the most barriers, just finding ways of communicating without words.
The acting out is like crazy. I mean, sit down.
Open your laptop. Open your laptop.
Walk in a line. And I'll never forget the one little boy I had that spoke Russian. And I was like, get in line on the line. I'm like, look at everyone else in line on the silver line. Here's the line. And I'm like on the floor, like showing him the line. And I was like, Miss Cherkansky, who's our art teacher, was like, will you please tell him to get on the silver line? And she's like, I was like, oh my God, can you say it nicely? She's like, that was nice. I was like, it sounded not nice. But like, Russian is a scary sounding language.
It's a very aggressive.
He was my favorite little guy. I miss him so much. He was the best. He, at the end of the day, every day, his was the like last bus to ever come. And he would just walk around my classroom and be like, What's this? What's this? I think I told him what the pencil sharpener was like 18 times in like one day. And yeah. But yeah, so you just like you said, acting it out. That's,
yeah, exactly. Acting it out. And then we do a lot of family engagement activities and inviting families into the school to be a part of their child's learning experience. I think that a lot of our parents are kind of hesitant because navigating the school system is difficult.
Yeah.
I think I found that out, especially during COVID and just all of the technology issues and trying to log into school when you're
forms.
Not at school.
Like at the beginning of the year, the forms.
Yes.
Like when we did the beginning of kindergarten, we literally used to have an entire day where it was just our Spanish speaking families would come in and Miss Del Campo, shout out again, would sit at this table and help them fill out their forms. It's like the whole day, literally the entire day. And we would sit with the kids and be like, sit down, stand up.
Yes. There's just so much information and navigating it as an English speaker is difficult.
Yeah.
So just knowing what barriers our parents are facing and trying to navigate that, and then also having the language barrier and not being able to understand it.
Yeah.
They still want to be a part of their child's learning experience.
Do you have anybody at your school that speaks Spanish?
We do.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you mean like teachers?
Yeah. Like somebody like teachers. Like I'm thinking like if something came up, we had two teachers that spoke Spanish, so they would just like go to the front office. Yeah, because I feel like it is so scary to like go into a setting where you don't think anybody knows what you're saying.
Yes, it is scary. Luckily, the county that I'm working in right now has put in Hispanic liaisons. It's a position because we do have such a high population of Spanish speakers. Mm-hmm. And so they're stationed at different schools and you can almost always get in touch with one of them.
Oh.
So they're either in the building or just a phone call away. And we also have.
Do you have the language line?
We do. An interpretation line.
Ours is called the language
that line. You can call and pray if there's a situation, they're going to get to you real quick.
Yeah. Oh, they usually do. It's just very awkward. I really don't like using the language line.
Yeah.
The pauses are weird. Yeah. You're like, are you still there? Oh, you're talking now. Sorry.
Like, yes.
Will you tell them that tomorrow we need a brown bag lunch? No, you won't. Will you? I'm waiting. And then they like start talking. I'm like, oh, okay. Sorry. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
It's awkward.
Very awkward.
Like if we could do it on FaceTime, I think it would be better.
Yeah.
Then I could see that they're like hear me and like are talking. It's just, it's odd. It's very odd, but.
Yeah.
I don't know. Have you ever had any like lost in translation moments where you've been trying to like tell a student to do something and you're just like, it's not coming through?
Daily.
So often.
Daily. And you know, it's kind of just learning to embrace the awkwardness, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of our students, there's just a long wait time because they're processing. I mean, the average person's thinking about something and then figuring out their response.
Yeah.
A student who's speaking another language is like translating in their head and trying to form a response. And a lot of people are just uncomfortable with the wait time.
Yes.
Like you ask something and they can stare blankly at you for a few minutes. And so a lot of what we do is kind of just helping the instructors learn like, okay, there it's gonna be awkward, you know? It's gonna be awkward. Yeah.
I had a student whose brother used to like walk them into school and the one day he came to my class and he was like, my dad thinks that you're not his teacher. And I was like, what? And they were like, they're convinced that you're not supposed to be his teacher. And I was like, he's on my class list, like everything about the student says that I'm their teacher. And they're like, yeah, but they met apparently at back to school night, they went to another classroom.
Aww.
And but then, you know, I took this kid because his name is on my list and everybody brought him to my class, but like they met and like discussed everything with a different teacher completely. But yeah, that was definitely a lost in translation moment.
And the teacher didn't realize the student was in their class?
It was like a first year teacher and she was like sweating by the end of back to school night.
Aww.
And I even said something to her later. I was like, did you think that you had like this kid in your class? And she was like, I don't even know. I blacked out. I was like, okay, that's fine. I understand. It was a funny time. But it was just funny because these parents had no idea. Like they kept seeing me like walk their kid out.
Who is this woman?
Yeah, what is this bitch doing with my kid? Like exactly. And so finally their older sibling was like explaining it to them and I could like just imagine them. I don't know, like during COVID, it was just so funny to hear those older students. Like a lot of times I had like fifth graders who I had already taught with my kindergartners sitting next to them and I could hear them being like, pay attention, like yelling at their like little sibling. And I'm like, I can't imagine them like yelling at their parents like, it's Miss Viewgate. Miss Viewgate. So I was like, oh, okay, all right, great. Okay, so can you share like a funny story, maybe like a cultural misunderstanding or maybe a miscommunication, well, kind of like that one, that you've had with a student or a family?
Oh man, I'm trying to think. I know I've had so many, but now I'm on the spot.
So many happened to me during COVID.
Really?
The parents would just like sit there.
Oh yeah.
And I'm guessing I'm just background noise because they don't know what I'm saying. So then like, it would just be like, hi, can you hang up? Hello? Hang up? Like, it's just the computer's like
the red button.
Yeah. Do you remember when you couldn't leave? We use Google Meet. Like, and you couldn't leave unless
until
they all left.
One. Yep.
And you couldn't kick them out because then it would lock them out the next day.
So I'm or like, when the students would get control of the Meet and somehow they could be the one to end it.
Yes. Yes. All of the yes. And that used to happen to me so much with my ESOL family. So I'd be like, Mama, Madre, please.
Rojo, click the button. Aww.
Yeah, it was. That was one.
Well, there was a student. So the past 5 years, I've been at a middle school. So I can get switched around. I've been at so many different schools, but for 5 years now, I've been at the middle school I'm at. But the middle school and the elementary school, one of the feeders are right beside each other.
Okay.
And we used to meet a lot of our families outside of this little like townhouse apartment complex.
Okay.
To help with computer issues.
I love that.
And so I remember after school one day we were meeting and I was helping these kids like fix their computer. And the elementary school is still going on at this point. Uh-huh. And so because they get released later than the middle school.
Yes.
And I'm sitting with one of my students, like helping with something. And his little brother is sitting there in class on Google Meet. And I just remember hearing the teacher like, hello,
oh.
Hello, hello. Are you there? And I look over and the kid had like absolutely no idea that he was on, had no idea about nothing. So his camera's on and he's just like talking up a storm.
Oh,
and he's
God.
Literally sitting like hunched over at this picnic table. And we've gotten like all these snacks for these kids. And he's just like chowing on one of those like crunchy granola bars that like flake everywhere. And as soon as you open it, and he's just like face like this close to the camera, just munching on a granola bar, just talking away in Spanish, talking away while this class is happening. And the teacher's like, hello, hello. And then I had to be the one to like look over and be like, sorry, like, because we're just, I had no idea he was in his class.
No,
we're sitting there and I'm just instructing, talking like at a normal volume.
Yep.
And this kid's like over here, deep throat, like crunchy granola bar. Gosh. Yeah. So that was awkward. And then, of course, I see the teacher all the time. And she's like, yeah, remember that time that you disrupted my class?
Oh.
Yeah.
Like, no, move on. Move on. It's been
I do
boring.
Remember that.
I do. Ugh. Sorry about that. Not even the same, but I had a child one time. We were doing the 100-day project, I think it was. And so each page was 10. You draw 10 of each thing. It was like my 100-day book. So then by the end, they had 100 things drawn.
Aww, so
the
nice.
One was swirls. Draw 100 swirls. And or draw 10 swirls. And this kid was like taking forever. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, what is happening? He's like, it's squirrels. It's squirrels. Just little fuzzy, fluffy-tailed rodents all over his face. And I was like, oh, that's cute. Aww. But I said swirls. This is fine, because you keep working, and on the next page, you'll just make tallies. Okay? We're just doing tallies on the next page. And
oh, my gosh. Yeah, I have a lot of just moments cutest. With, like, multiple meaning words, and just... There are a lot
yes.
of words in English
oh my God,
with
yeah.
a lot of different meanings.
Well, and then, like, we try to teach them how to rhyme. Like, that's not even fair. Like, the beginning part of kindergarten, it's all rhyming. We're, like, doing rhyming books and rhyming papers and rhyming games. And I'm like, these dirt words don't rhyme in Spanish. Like,
they don't.
And then dibbles. Don't even get me started. I don't know if you guys do dibbles or if you even know what dibbles is as an ESOL teacher.
I don't know.
That would be such a dream if I didn't know what dibbles was. That would be
what is dibbles?
That's the goal. So it's like a, it's like a, basically it's like a fluency test,
okay.
but it's letters, letter naming, letter sounds, and
okay.
then like, but it used to be they did change it. There used to be beginning sounds, and it was pictures. So you would show the kid a picture, and they had to make the beginning sound for the picture.
So like foundations, like
yes.
A apple, ah.
Yeah, kind of. But it was like pictures like bird, and like bird is different in Spanish. So they're giving me the Spanish sound.
Aww.
And I like understand some Spanish. I took 3 years, shout out Senorita, and in high school, but I don't remember that much. But I'm like, can I just count this? Like, and I love the kids that come in and they like you do your assessment and they're telling you eche. And like they're telling you like all the letters in Spanish. I'm like, you're so smart. You're gonna get it. Don't worry, but you got a zero right now.
Yeah.
Oh, God, not fair. I know. I don't know, but they're, like I said, they're my favorite students.
They are.
But they're my favorites because also
they
really
try so
there.
Hard.
They really want to be there. They really want to learn.
Yes.
And
the culture. Yes.
Oh, my God. I have so many family pictures. Like, so many family pictures.
Aww.
And it's always my ESOL families. Doesn't matter what language they speak. They're always the families that have me. And they're like, we have you on our mantle, Mrs. Fugan. I'm like, oh,
cool.
I'm glad my hair was huge. But
oh,
yeah.
I
love it. And they just love us, I feel like.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. Have you ever had a lesson plan go completely off the rails because of like a language barrier or a misunderstanding?
Daily.
Yeah.
That's my answer to everything. There are many times where I'm doing a lesson and I realize that they are just completely lost and we have not done any kind of front loading of the material and they're just lost. And so there are many times where I'm like, okay, we're going to scrap this lesson. We'll come back to it. And thankfully, We use something called keep versus sacrifice. That's what we like to refer to it as, where we work with the content teacher and we kind of look at their curriculum and we're like, what are the main things that your students need to know next year? Like moving on, what do they have to know and what's kind of the fluff? And it's really hard, especially once you get into the upper grades in high school, because those teachers love their curriculum. Love it.
Oh, I bet.
They are masters of their content and everything is important.
I was about to say, there's no fluff in high school.
No, but, and a lot of it is fluff and it can be pared down. So sometimes we just really focus on what they need to know out of a lesson.
Okay.
If they're doing something and there's 20 vocabulary words on it, they might focus on five, the five most important ones that they're going to see over and over again. Mm-hmm. But if I'm doing something and the student is completely lost, there are many times where I'm like, okay, we're going to scrap this lesson. We'll come back to it. Or yeah. I just kind of will create something on the spot. And yeah. usually the teachers are pretty good with understanding, hey, they weren't able to grasp this, but we did this instead. And they can kind of gauge what the students learned. And that's not saying that we're not going to come back to that assignment and attempt it again.
Yeah.
But daily, I just sit down with a student and realize we're not ready for this.
Yeah. Have you noticed with your, like, I know you've been in the middle school setting for a while, but have you noticed that, like, elementary age kids, do they pick up faster than the older kids with the language?
It
depends on the kid.
It does depend on the kid. I would definitely say that younger picks up faster.
Yeah.
But I think it's, I don't know, maybe it is their ability to learn. That's what all the studies say, that yeah, when you're younger, you
I'm
can
just like, is it too late for me? Can I relearn Spanish?
Yeah. At the middle school level, I feel like it's one extreme or the other. Uh-huh. I have students who come in and they're surrounded by English and they want to fit in. Hey.
He keeps doing that.
If I didn't talk with my hands all the time.
I think if you do this, it'll do a heart. We'll just sit
Wait,
here.
How do the... Oh! What is the new age heart? It's not this anymore.
We were trying to figure this out. Yeah, it's like this.
Yeah, I don't know.
Down. I'm just kidding. It's not that.
It's the Esau teacher in me. I talk with my hands.
If anyone's cool out there and knows, I think it's this.
Yeah. I don't even know what it is. I just know it's not this anymore.
I think I have arthritis. I can't even do it. That's how old I am.
But I definitely see them come in and they pick it up so fast.
Okay.
And they grow leaps and bounds in a year. But then I also see students who are just so self-conscious and they don't want to speak or they don't want to speak. I mean, I occasionally get the middle schooler who has no desire to speak
English.
Have you
ever had a mute?
I kind of have one now.
Yeah.
I've had her for 3 years now and she just doesn't speak.
To anyone.
Anyone. And the teachers are always like, she doesn't speak. Like, I don't think she understands anything I'm saying. But that's one of those awkward wait time situations. When I sit down next to her, it is uncomfortable. But she produces, like, she can tell you things. It's just very quiet. You're the only person who's going to hear what she's saying. Yeah. And you might have to say what, like, five times.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I mean,
but other than that.
School, we had a girl that was just like that. And she was like second of our class. She had to give a speech at graduation. We were like. We were all.
What mind, she said, like.
Mind blown. We were like. We went to the same school, elementary, middle, and high school. So 12 years with this girl who did not speak, but was obviously a genius because she was in all of our classes and she was in college. Even during courses, she wouldn't, it was crazy. But yeah, I had a mute like in my kindergarten class and he really did not like, because that's a stage, right? Like that's a stage of like learning a new language. Yep. It's supposed to. But he came, like, he didn't even speak in Spanish. Like, he just.
Yeah.
Like,
that's the student. Nothing.
Yeah.
I had one a few years ago who I did not hear him speak at all, ever, until the last week of school. He would, like, say something, and I would make it my daily goal to get this student to smile because he would come in and just. Like, he was miserable. Nothing. And then occasionally I would say something and I'd see this little smirk.
Aww.
And I would just go to town. Like, yeah, I see that smirk.
Yeah.
And finally, the last week of school, I got a smile out of him. And I've never felt so accomplished in my whole life.
My little guy was so sweet. Apparently his uncle was a mute. Like, it runs in the family. I'm like, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know much about this, but I don't really think that's it. But I don't know. Like, he was just so sweet. He was sweet and kind to me. He'd like point at things and show me what he needed. But I hated going to meetings for him because it was just like everyone was like so obsessed with getting him to talk. And I'm like,
yeah,
this is his like diagnosis. Like, he's diagnosed as a mute. So like, why are we trying to make him not be a mute? Like, you're not going to take like a kid who's diagnosed with autism and try to make them not
take it away
anymore. Like,
right.
Can we just leave him alone? Like, I mean, I was like, I'm making a point to things. He points to things. He gives me answers. He did pee on my beanbag chair because he didn't tell me I had to go to the bathroom. That sucked. But, you know,
he wins some, you lose some.
Yeah, we made it out alive. And it was, you know, an easy cleanup. But I just like, that was a weird thing for me to have to be around. I'm sure you have these kids too, where you're like, sometimes you're like, what do we want? What's the end goal here?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Here's another one. What's the funniest request or question that you've ever gotten from an ESOL student?
Oh,
like, oh, okay.
I don't know. I get a lot of just, we build connections with our students. We really do. Like, we are their safe space.
Yeah.
And anytime there's an issue or a problem, they find us. And so we just get a lot of random things. Like, I'm so hungry. Do you have a snack? And they'll just like walk into our room and start digging through our bins. Yes. And they find snacks.
Yeah.
Or like, I need a, like, I want to buy this new video game. Can I have $5? Yes. And like, they're like collecting money, which we usually don't give them money. Like, we'll find them clothes. We'll find them shoes.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll feed them. But I mean, we usually aren't handing out stacks of money. I don't have any to hand out.
I don't have any extra money to give you.
But just, I mean, I think some people would kind of be like, that's kind of weird. Like, that's weird. Yeah, we use an app called Talking Points.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you're familiar with that. Yeah. So it's like an app where you can communicate with parents and it translates it.
Yeah.
And we get a lot of just parents who send us like, kid's not going to be at school today. He has diarrhea. Or like very like personal
sleepy
things.
They'll be like, you're sleepy. I'm like,
yeah,
oh, they are. Me too. I am also sleepy. Like,
they were up late last night. Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Okay.
I have a baby. I don't sleep.
I was also, what time? What time are they up to? I bet I could beat them. Yeah. Yeah. No. It's the best.
Yeah.
It's the best. Like I said, the letters that I would get were just the best. Happy day. I'm like, oh, okay. Happy day. Happy day to you. I actually just found one the other day. Yeah. It was on the back of, it was whenever I was interviewing for the advanced academics position. It was on the back of a paper that I had jotted down the interview like information, like where it was and what time. I was like, wait, where did this paper come from in the first place? Like, this is like, this should have been in my desk at my school.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, it was really weird. So hopefully Freddie Funes is okay, or else
it's
a sign. Just kidding.
Having a happy day.
He's having a happy day. Happy day.
My one of my coworkers is the one that who got me the job. She's fluent in Spanish, obviously, because she was a Spanish teacher.
Yeah.
And now I work alongside her. We're co-teachers at the same school, and she makes my day every day.
Oh.
But she gets a lot of the messages from the parents because she communicates better than I do, obviously.
Yes.
And there was one year that the kid's mom sent a picture, and it was something about like the groin area was like something was going on. Like a lymph node or something, and they felt the need to like snap a picture and like let them know why their student wasn't at school. It was not like
not necessary.
Rated X or anything.
No, it was still,
but it was still slightly inappropriate. Like, you don't need to send me a picture, I believe you.
Yeah.
But just things like that, like very comfortable with us, which is a good thing, but
yes, just, and I don't know about you, but like in kindergarten, they're their babies. Like, they are not school age at 5. Like, they are not, like, they're not ready to let them go for the whole day. And,
right.
And it was always very, like, wild, the messages I would get, like, at lunchtime on the first day. How is it? How today? I'm like, oh. We're already speaking. Okay. It's great. Going good. I'm overwhelmed, aww, but I promise your kid's having a great time.
He ends up coughing.
All right. We have like 20 questions, and you have to answer these questions as fast as you can. Oh, there is no wait time here.
I'm like the most indecisive person in the world, so we'll see how this goes.
Get ready. Are you ready?
Yeah.
If you could teach any grade, what would it be?
Kindergarten.
What's one thing you wish your students knew about you?
That I have a life outside of school.
I love that one. What's the most memorable lesson you've ever taught?
Ooh. Probably math, which is weird, but because I've always hated math, but now that I'm teaching it, I've found that I actually enjoy it. But I don't have like a specific lesson, just things that I've never enjoyed before that I'll be doing it. And I'm like, I actually enjoy this.
That actually makes sense. I feel like a professional.
Yeah.
Mine was a math lesson too, that I think about it. And it was when I was interning, I did a measuring lesson where we measured out lemonade ingredients. And the reason why it was memorable is because one of the little boys stood up and was like, this is epic. And the teacher was like, did you hear that? This is epic. This is an epic lesson. I was like, this is adorable. I want to be
a teacher. You pass.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, who was your favorite teacher when you were in school?
Jeff McCoy. He was my theater teacher.
Oh, little theater nerd. If you weren't a teacher, what other profession would you pursue?
Not a daycare provider. Sorry, Miss Melissa.
The reception.
You're a saint.
She's the best.
I know. An angel on earth. Maybe I would work at a doctor's office.
That's what I'm saying.
Actually, no. I would really love to be an esthetician.
Ooh.
Like, learn all the ins and outs of, like... Yeah.
Dude, if I could just massage my hand.
Yeah.
They massage.
I just think it's relaxing.
The music. Yeah. Just the music. Yeah. I might just play that music for fun in my classroom. Mm. Spa music. Raindrops. Hello, children.
Then you would really have students peeing on your beanbags.
Definitely peeing everywhere. Just so much pee. Yeah. My friend tried to give me a cloth little like kid chair, and I was like, no. Nope. I do not like any cloth in this room. Oh. What's the biggest challenge you face as a teacher? I'm kind of stupid.
Teachers.
Other teachers.
Other teachers.
Yeah, especially you. That was kind of like I made a really big pros and cons list for the resource teacher thing. And I was like, I like kids. You don't really like to teach adults, but I will, because I do like to work with adults. I just don't like. I like to work side by side with adults. I don't like to be seen as the person who's telling them what to do, because I feel like I'm bossy. Like, if I'm telling them what to do, I feel bossy and I feel mean, and I don't like that. So I'm like, okay, but if you like, when you get the chance, can you come back and do your job? No, okay, that's fine. Like, that's a good one. Oh, what's one piece of advice you would give to aspiring teachers?
Take it one day at a time. And give it your all. Like, I feel like as a teacher, it's so, you get so caught up in the day to day that one day, like, it just all runs together. And it's just this long, constant to-do list of, I need to teach this and this and this and this, and I need to have this done by this and this done by this, that it's just so overwhelming. And it's so easy to fall into this timeline to where you're not enjoying anything you're doing, and you're not stopping to make connections or like acknowledge the light bulb moments.
Like, your to-do list will never end.
Never.
It's never going to be done. Even the last day of school, there's still something that you're like, you need to do. And then like, maybe this first week of summer, your to-do list will be done. What's your favorite memory from your own time as a student?
I really enjoyed high school. I feel like I made just so many connections with my teachers. I think that that's when I really started to love teaching. I mean, as a kid, you're kind of like, oh, I want to be a teacher or a dancer. And then, like, it just kind of ebbs and flows with what's cool at the moment. But once I got to high school was when I really started to see my teachers for who they were.
Yeah.
And just kind of
be impacting someone's life.
Yeah. And seeing, like, just the impact that they do make on people's lives. And so I think just getting to know my educators and forming real connections with them.
Okay. Yeah. I agree. I like that. If you could travel anywhere in the world with your students, where would you go?
With my students?
With your students.
Let's say I have, this is so random, but I have a very heavy population of students from El Salvador right now.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe to El Salvador, that way they could kind of take the lead and like showing me things and teaching me. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Last one, because I'm going to have a coughing fit soon.
Oh no.
What is your, oh, sorry. I don't want to do that one. What's the funniest thing that a student ever said or done in your class?
Oh, I don't know if this is funny. It was kind of scary. I was pregnant with my first child.
Okay.
And when I'm pregnant, I'm extremely sick, like all day, every day for months and months and months.
Oh, no.
And so I was hiding it, like didn't want anyone to know, sick as a dog, like throwing up in my classroom on the daily multiple times a day. Hadn't told anyone. Not even my mom knew, like no one knew I was pregnant yet.
Oh my God.
And I just remember going to get this student for my class, and I'm walking in the hall with these three little first grade girls, and one of them says something about a baby, and I was like, what? And she was like, the baby in your belly.
Oh.
And I was like, what? She was like, the little girl in your bed, like in your belly. Oh, your baby.
Chills.
And I was so taken aback. And I was like, what do you mean the baby in my belly? And she was like, you have a little baby girl inside of your belly. And it was the weirdest thing. To this day, I'm like, and it was a girl. Like, obviously, I have three girls.
Yeah.
I've never been so freaked out. Like, it was weird.
That's wild. No, I don't like it.
It was so wild.
I hate it, but I like it.
Yeah, so I don't think it was funny, but that's what just came to my brain.
This little girl has a future in something.
It was weird. She's not in our county anymore.
Dang.
I would love to meet up with her. Oh, she moved to Florida.
Dang it.
Living the life.
Addie has a 100% success rate for the guessing the gender of babies right now.
Really?
Like seven babies have been what she says they are. Including my best friend, who she said the baby, Addie was like, it's a girl, it's a girl, it's a girl. We go to the gender reveal party, the pool turns blue, it's a boy. Addie cries the whole way home. She's like, no, mommy, it's a girl. And I was like, it's not, though. Like, you're going to have to be okay with it. Aunt Linda's a little upset, too. She really wanted a girl. It's two boys now. Like, it'll be fine. And then my friend Lindsay called me, like 3 weeks later. She's like, do you still have Addie's clothes? Because it's a girl. And I was like, what? They got it wrong? Like, you had the whole party and it was wrong. And Addie was right. And I told Addie, I was like, Addie, you were right. It was a girl. She's like, I told you. Like, literally was like,
duh, mom.
Like, yeah, I knew that. I knew it was a girl. So Addie and this girl could get together. Oh, she could predict the pregnancy, and Addie can predict the gender. Well, obviously she can too, but dang. Creepy.
It was so weird.
Creepy.
So creepy. Her name was Rachel.
Like,
never forget
anyone, Rachel.
I don't even remember what I how I acknowledged.
You were just in shock.
I just was so taken aback. It was the creepiest thing. Yeah. And I mean, it wasn't like I was showing. It was early.
Yeah. No, you were throwing up. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
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 All right. I'm not doing the news again. Well, actually, I did the news last time. I'm not doing the news this time. I'm not doing the news. You guys are so sad. I know you are. Okay. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. And just make sure that you're following the Instagram and the Facebook. Teacher Wines for the wine. And then the Tipsy Teacher Yeah, that's what it's called. I think I'm sick, guys. I'm ill. It's fine. I'm going to be fine. Just make sure you're following us. If you are a teacher and you're interested in getting involved with what we're doing, if you go to Facebook, Kenny made a Facebook page. It's called Teachers That Wine. And Katie, you actually won free wine. I don't know how he's going to get it to you. Yeah.
Free wine, baby.
Yeah, really.
Are your reds back yet? That's my question.
Are
your reds back?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, we got dry. They just don't have the new label on them yet.
But they're in stock.
They're in stock, yeah.
I tried to order it online.
Not online? Maybe not online. Well, we're going to be at the wine stroll this weekend.
I have a baby's birthday party.
Well, when?
What Saturday?
Time? Yeah.
1 to 3?
Well, yeah, that sucks. I mean, it's 11 to 4, so. I have 20 free wristbands. You can come for free before the party.
Okay.
Come get your red wine.
Maybe I'll do that.
But really, if you're listening and you want to come to the wine stroll, it's first come, first serve. You just come through the Longwell entrance. This is in Westminster, by the way, friends. Maryland. And you say that you're with Kind Vine and I have 20 wristbands, so you can just come in. If you're going to do that, though, let me know. That way I know how many more wristbands I have left. But yeah, so just make sure you're following us, hanging out with us, sharing the podcast so that other teachers can come hang out with us. Always looking for guests. I have guests almost booked till October now, but I would love to put more people on the schedule. But yeah, so you lasted this long, and here's your discount code. If you go to teacherwines.com at tipsypod, it's the same as it was last episode. I'm probably never going to change it, so you just keep using that one. TIPSYPOD at checkout. You get a discount. We are at 3 events this weekend. So what's that? Saturday the 20th. Yeah, the 20th we're in Westminster at the Wine Stroll, and then we're in Bowie. That one's free, so that's kind of cool. And then we're at another one. I can't quite remember what it was. But I posted about it, so you should follow me at the Tipsy Teach on Instagram, and you'll see where we're at. But yeah, thank you, Katie, for coming on. I really enjoyed, I don't know, finding out all about ESOL teachers. It was great.
Yeah. And thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks everybody for listening. Goodbye. I'm gonna cough now. That was a good one. I wish we could have gotten that one out earlier.